Good morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order February 19th, 2021. With me today is Co-Chair Senator Bishop, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Wilson, Senator Hoffman, and myself, Stedman. The other two members are off on other state business. So we have a review today dealing with amendments to the governor's proposed budget. And we're going to have a presentation from the Office of Management and Budget. Ms. Caroline Schultz, who we all know, will do the presentation today. The OMB director is online doing other business in his office. So, and he'll join us a little late, actually, because he's got some conflicting meetings. But we're, that our office is in very capable hands with Ms. Schultz, so she'll walk the committee through, after she introduces herself, through the amendments that are in front of the committee members in that large spreadsheet.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Caroline Schultz, and I'm from the Office of Management and Budget. It's good to see you all today. As you all know, it is required by statute that the governor submit amendments to the budget on the 30th day of the legislative session. We submitted those amendments on the 16th, just this week. Today I'll be focusing on those amendments that we sent over on Tuesday, but I do want to point out this comparison that shows amendments based on the different budgets that they apply to. So you can see here that we have operating amendments to the fiscal year 2021 supplemental budget, operating amendments to the governor's 2022 budget, as well as capital amendments to the 21 and 22 budgets. I'm happy to walk the committee through these totals if they're interested, but these exist essentially as a summary.
Okay, and would you pull the mic a little bit closer because it's hard with the masks on?
Certainly. Hopefully this helps.
Do we have any questions on page number 2? Are you finished with page number 2?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll go on to page number.
Moving on to page number 2 again.
It's the same number 2. Now, we don't expect perfection from OMB, but we're not going to. We can't miss the opportunity that you just delivered to the chairman to have two pages number 2.
Mr. Chairman, you may be impressed to find out that there are, in fact, three pages, number 2.
Okay.
All right, I'd like to spend a little bit more time on this slide. This shows the amendments that we've proposed by department. I think this is a little bit more of a helpful breakout. In the first column, you can see the fiscal year 2021 supplemental items that have already been proposed, both in the December 11th release as well as in our regular track supplemental. The second column shows amendments to those supplementals, and of course there's just the one. Oh, and Mr. Chairman, I'd like to point out to the committee that this shows unrestricted general funds only. You can see in the third column the total supplementals we've proposed for all the departments in UGF. Moving on, fiscal year 2022, that's the governor's budget that we proposed on December 11th. The second column from the right shows the amendments that we sent over on the 16th, and then, of course, our total fiscal year 2022 budget with the amendments inclusive.
Do we have any questions on page number 2 of number 2? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to the next page, page number 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, here we have page number 2, and this is just an updated version of OMB's fiscal summary. You've all seen this before. This is inclusive of all the amendments that we proposed this week, both in the fiscal year 2021 columns as well as the fiscal year 2022 columns.
Okay. And it is nice to note that, you know, we've been struggling with supplementals, and we'll take out the dividend issue out of the supplemental proposal and the COVID issues, but I think we did collectively a good job between the administration and the legislature on last year's budget or this current year's budget, not having a large supplemental in front of the committee. So it doesn't go unnoticed. That's nice to see. But go ahead and continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, so I'd like to move on to the meat of the content here, which is included in four packets of spreadsheets that members should have in front of them. I'll give everybody a second to find those, and I'm going to start with the one labeled 1 in the upper right corner. Mr. Chairman, you'll be happy to note that these are correctly numbered.
Okay, thank you.
So starting with the first spreadsheet, spreadsheet labeled number 1, this is the supplemental amendments for both operating and capital. And I'll walk through these items because there's a fairly short list. Okay. The first four items are increases for the Department of Labor Technical Vocation Education Program funding. There was originally a decrement in the supplemental proposed in our earlier supplemental release. Those estimates have been revised up. So what you're seeing here is essentially a smaller decrement to TVEP funding. Moving down to item number 7, this is replacing commercial passenger vessel environmental compliance fees with UGF for shellfish testing. This is an item that was in the 22 governor's proposal, and this is something that we are also proposing as an amendment to the 21 supplemental.
Okay. I think we'll go down through each page, and then when we're at the bottom of the page, we'll, when Ms. Schultz is done, we'll back up and take questions on that page, and then we'll jump to the next one.
Perfect, that works. Okay, last items on this page are just supplemental capital items, and these are just repeal reappropriations of expired capital projects to the general fund and to the Alaska Capital Income Fund. I would like to point out to the committee that on line 10, the department is listed as the Department of Revenue. That should be the Department of Transportation.
Did we have questions for OMB on page number 1. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Why did not all of the funds go to the Alaska Capital Income Fund, the $4.3 million? It reverted back to the general fund. Was there a reason for not keeping it in capital and to be reappropriated for capital, or why was it to the general fund?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that's a good question. I don't actually know the answer. I'll get back to you. Get back to the committee.
Okay. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Carolyn, I thought I said there was a miss on line 10 that you said that was revenue and it should say transportation. Is that, that's correct, right?
That's correct. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And just as a reminder for those at home, the Capital Income Fund is a fund that we park money in and accumulate it in, and we expense it out in the capital budget on deferred maintenance.
All right.
Go ahead and continue. Next
if there are no more questions on our supplemental amendments, we can move on to the second packet with a 2 in the upper right-hand corner, and these are our operating amendments for the coming fiscal year budget. Okay. All right, I'll start at the top. The first one relates to the Executive Order 119. This is adding a new Department Technology Officer for the new Department of Family and Community Services, but adding it to the Department of Administration Office of Information Technology. The second item is a technical adjustment to correct a sort order issue in the way that the budget was actually written. The third item is adding $10,000 to the Department of Corrections so they can increase their medication-assisted treatment program. This is federal funds that were made available. Item 4 is a very minor adjustment. It's a reduction of $3,400 for the Department of Education to reduce match that they realized that they didn't need. It's a small cleanup item.
So that item there is a pretty inconsequential item. I think it would have been easy for the department just to rat hole the excess match in their budget. So I appreciate OMB bringing it before the committee and backing that out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number 5 is it's a technical item that pairs with an item that was in the 22 governor's budget release. That this reduction here with the Alaska Post-Secondary Education is coupled with a fund source change at the Alaska Student Loan Corporation. Item number six is also a technical adjustment, just changing an appropriation from the language section to the number section. Item number seven is also a correction. It's a more significant one, however. This, in the fiscal year 22 governor's proposal, you may remember we discussed that the department was proposing about a $700,000 reduction to the spill prevention and response fund. That's because that fund is being unsustainably spent at the current rate. So the department's working to correct that course and reduce spending on that fund to, in order to have a more sustainable draw. However, that amount that was proposed was found out to be a little bit too large. So this $230,000 is an add back, which results in about a $500,000 reduction net. Item number eight is just adding some more authority to the Department of Fish and Game Commercial Fisheries for EVOS funds.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you. Along with this amend for item number seven, is the administration planning to draw statute to fix that shortfall?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, at this time, the administration hasn't proposed any legislation to increase SPAR collections.
Thank you.
And if we could have a little explanation on item number five, dealing with the management of the scholarship fund, a little detail of what's going on here for clarity?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. In the 22 governor's budget proposal, the Post-Secondary Education Alaska Student Loan Corporation used to manage the WAMI program using program receipts. And that used to be kind of a non-issue for them because there was sufficient receipt collection through the loan servicing that running the WAMI program with those funds was a de minimis cost. As their loan program has reduced, that cost is no longer de minimis. So in the governor's budget, we proposed switching managing WAMI from student loan receipts to higher education fund. This item is just the associated reduction in IA, which is how the ASLC, Alaska Student Loan Corporation, is financed from the Alaska Post-Secondary Education component. It's kind of a technical fix. I'm happy to provide a flow chart to the committee.
Oh, so it'll increase the financial strain on the scholarship fund, is that correct? This money's gonna come out of that portfolio of 400 and some million?
The item in the governor's budget will increase the draw on the higher ed fund. That's correct.
Okay. We have other questions on page number two, or page number one on packet number two. Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to page number two of six.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item number nine is, again, a technical fix to remove some language within the numbers section in the Department of Fish and Game. Number 10, also in the Department of Fish and Game, 10 and 11 are both increases in federal authority associated with increased available federal funds for conservation wildlife grants as well as Dingell Johnson funds. Item number 12 is also related to the Executive Order 119. It's adding an administrative services director for the new department to the Office of Management and Budget. Item number 13 is an increase of about $700,000 UGF to the Division of Elections to replace Help America Vote Act funds. Those funds had been used to support printing ballots and other elections language material in indigenous languages. The federal government has repurposed those grants to use for election security, and the state believes that this continues to be a worthwhile endeavor. Item number 14 is just a technical adjustment. In the 22 governor's budget, we put forward a decrement to eliminate two building plan reviewer positions. That amount was off by $15,000. Item number 15 is an increase to the Alaska State Trooper Academy. In the fiscal year 2018 budget, some statutory designated program receipts were added to the academy, hoping that the academy would be able to collect from municipalities and other organizations that send their recruits to the academy for training, and that authority didn't end up panning out. Item number 16 is adding a federal receipt authority for the crime lab.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, I'm a little slow. On 15, the UGF increment is because the other law enforcement agencies use Sitka as a training ground. And did you say that those people that were attending haven't paid their portion and this needs to backfill that?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, it's correct. I think I'd actually feel most comfortable to have the department help us get a complete response to this question. I know that it's been a goal of the legislature and the administration to help the academy collect more receipts, but there have been some challenges over the past few years.
Maybe you can get back to the committee on that with some help from the department on the municipalities. I think we were planning on or expecting them to carry more of the financial load of training their municipal police and other enforcement issues, and revenue did not materialize. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Yeah, so, yeah, if you could just get back to us on that so we can clarify that. Senator Wilson, any other questions? Well, I've got a couple. If we can just on 10 and 11, we're using the COVID-19 money. I just want to point that out to the committee members. We'll be dealing with that kind of a separate issue, I think, at some point at the table, all the supplanting. I think that would conclude my questions on this page. Any other questions? Okay. We'll go on to page 3 of 6.
Okay, moving on to page 3, the first item on page 3, line 17, in the Department of Revenue, this is adding $194,000 in unrestricted general funds to help the department manage their internal risk, both in terms of physical risk due to cash collections, as well as IT risks with all of the different financial systems, information systems that they run. This is an item in the fiscal year 22 governor's budget as well, but we believe that it should also be included here in the amendments. Item number 18 is just a small correction to correct the language and numbers item. Item number 19 here, the Department of Transportation. All of these Department of Transportation items relating to reductions in motor fuel tax and aviation fuel are related due to a shortfall in collections for both of those funds. So we're proposing deleting additional uncollectible HALO authority for both aviation fuel as well as motor tax fuel for all of the regions. And then we are choosing to offset those reductions with increases using the COVID funding. So I'll walk through these, but I wanted to give a high-level overview of kind of the general plan. Okay. So you can see, yes, items 19 and 20 relating to the deleting the uncollectible authority. And then item number 20 is adding $620,000 of the federal COVID funds to reopen the Silvertip maintenance station. Item number 21, again, is for the increased rural airport paint striping. Item number 24 is also an increase using the federal funds. That's to get the Dalton Highway Maintenance Crew on a two-week on, two-week off schedule. Item number 25 is reopening the Chittenden at Birch Lake maintenance stations. And item number 26 is more rural airport paint striping in the northern region.
Here we have questions on this. Senator Bishop.
So I have a comment. This is like the fourth year in a row where the motor fuel tax receipts keep declining, and over the last 3 years we've lost almost $3.4 million in revenue. We can't keep going like this.
Where's your bill? On item 20, the Silvertip maintenance station, and item 25, I'm curious why they weren't combined, and we're using one-time money, COVID money, to to backfill this or reinstitute these. Is there consideration being given to how to fund them in the long term, or has that, or does the policy still stand that they're targeted for elimination, or do you know?
Mr. Chairman, I'll answer both of those questions. They weren't combined into one just because they're in different DOT components, different DOT regions. That's more of a technical issue on the budget structure end. And then, yes, the Department of Transportation is working to identify ways to keep those maintenance stations open. They've been identified as priority areas for public safety, road safety, important highway maintenance work.
Okay. And then I think the same question would go into item number 24. We're dealing with CARES Act funds and the Dalton Highway. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. That's the highway maintenance crew on the Dalton Highway switched to a two-week on, two-week off schedule in order to help prevent, I mean, really to mitigate the risk of COVID spread. You know, it's just less travel for those workers, less interaction for those workers, and this is just proposing a continuation of that into the fiscal year 22.
Well, just as a reminder to the committee, I think, and I know we've got Senator Bishop from the Northern Region in Fairbanks, but we need to take the time to take a look at the Dalton Highway for the physical structure of it, maintenance of it, and lifeline to the oil basin, and we make sure that that's a functioning road corridor. And I think that it's had a substantial increase in truck traffic over the last several years. So any other questions on page 3 before we go to page 4? Page 4 it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Moving right along, we are still in Department of Transportation. Here we are in continuing on in the South Coast region with deleting uncollectible authority and increasing airport maintenance using those Federal CARES Act in the South Coast region. That's what items 27 and 28 are. Item number 29 and 30 are technical corrections related to COLAs, cost of living adjustments. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. And then item number 31 is a recommendation from the Legislative Task Force for Therapeutic Courts. This is a $480,000 UGF increase to the judicial system for their therapeutic court program. All right, item number 34, again, is another technical update, revising some language in the language section for the natural gas pipeline project. Item number 35 is extending the COVID community grants within the community or Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Of course, as you the committee knows and we've discussed, that the coronavirus relief funds were extended through the rest of the year, and we want to make sure that those appropriations continue on for fiscal year 22 so the communities can continue to expend those funds. Last item on the page is also just updating the ADA dividend amount. As the committee knows, the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority pays a dividend to the state every year, and this year when their board met and decided the dividend amount, it wasn't in time for inclusion in the governor's budget. So this is just updating the correct amount, which I'm sure the committee will be pleased to see is a larger amount.
Could you repeat that so it's clear?
Certainly. So ADA pays a dividend to the state per statute each year. And just the way that their board meeting timing worked out, when we released the governor's budget on December 11th, we weren't able to include their updated number for the fiscal year 22.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Caroline, on 27 and 28, this is the first time I've seen that we have a South Coast region. I thought we only had Northern, Central, and Southeast. But now on 28, you have the South Coast region, which includes Southeast and many communities that I represent in the Central region out in the Aleutians. And you just explained to the chairman on the previous page, you were keeping those districts from Northern and Central region separate for accounting purposes, but here you're mingling them. Why is that, and why do we have a South Coast region now? Where does the South Coast region come from?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that's a good question. I am not deeply familiar with the esoteric ways that the Department of Transportation subdivides the state for its regional maintenance, and there are some areas that even surprise me occasionally with what community is lumped in what region. I would be very happy to get back to the committee with a map of the regions as well as a list of why the regions are divided the way they are.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know what the regions look like.
Wait. If I could just stop you for a minute. Okay. Several years ago, DOT decided to expand the South Coast region and change the region that you're referring to, the Aleutian Chain, Pribilofs, I think Kodiak, the whole belted coast, into the South Coast region. So now the three regions are, as you mentioned, central, basically Anchorage, Matsu, northern Fairbanks, and that whole northern area of the state, and then the coastal. So it's been in existence for several years, it's just, I guess, hasn't been to a point where we've had at the front of the committee the geographical breakdowns and stuff, but yes, Senator Hoffman, you are included with Southeast, and welcome to the neighborhood.
No, you are included in the Aleutian.
So, but we'll get, you can get back to the committee on the geographical printout of the region, and that'll be helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the save there on that. There are definitely some things about the DOT regions that are interesting. The committee, I'm sure, knows that, for example, Cordova is included in the northern region.
Okay. So if we could, on item number 34, referring or diverting potentially federal funds from the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation into a separate area called the Alaska Liquefied Natural Gas Project Fund. I don't think the committee has reviewed that yet. I just want to highlight that to the committee. We need to, at some point, take a look at that project and make some decisions on recommendations on what we want to do, if anything. Just wanted to highlight that, Senator Hoffman.
And the other question that I have are on items 29 and 30. I was under the impression that the COLA was 3% and under, and here you're making an adjustment to raise the COLA from 3% to 7%. That, in these times where the interest rates are so low, that seems quite exorbitant, and I'm wondering if there's any backup to justify the 7% COLA increase.
If you can help us with that.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I'm happy to give you more information and backup on how those bargaining agreements were established.
Okay. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And on another point to Senator Hoffman's question, Caroline, Ms. Schultz, excuse me, because those are AIP receipts, I'd like to know if they're salaries and benefits are paid out of the AIP receipts.
Okay. Help the committee fold that into the response would be nice.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions on page 4? Page number 5 of 6.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Starting with item 37, the first item on page 5, we have a increase to the Division of Elections to implement redistricting. As the committee knows, redistricting is something that happens every 10 years following the decennial census. And the Division of Elections will be printing new material, making sure everybody is identified correctly in their new or modified election district. And this is a multi-year for fiscal year 21 and or 22 and 23. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. Item number 38 is an extension of the revised program legislative that was recently approved by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. It's both correcting the amount that was in the RPL was $200 million for rental assistance. That was a program that, of course, was part of the recent Federal CARES Act response, or the, not the CARES Act, but the more recent CRISA Act. And that funding is made available to assist renters and essentially to pay landlords and utility companies. And the amount is both corrected in this appropriation and then extended. Item number 39 is related to item number 38 and actually is included in this list as a mistake on the Office of Management and Budget side. It was meant to be a placeholder in our budget system, and we didn't remove it. Item number 40, again, this is allowing language in the budget. So as the committee likely knows, for students in the WAMI program, if they do not practice medical care in Alaska, then they are obligated to repay their loans at an accelerated rate. This language would allow that loan repayment to go back into the Higher Education Investment Fund rather than reverting to the general fund. Item number 41 and 42 are related. That is just reversing a one-time item and adding it back in for the Legislative Redistricting Board, which, as the committee likely remembers, was added in the budget last year, and this is just a technical carrying it forward into the next year item. Item number 45 here is the beginning of the HR consolidation transfers relating to Administrative Order 305. Item number 45 is moving 40 positions to the Department of Administration, and then item number 46, there are technical adjustments within the departments to move the money around appropriately so they can finance that interagency receipt authority.
We have questions on page 5 of 6. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On line 38 for the housing and homeless stimulus program to assist to support housing and rental and utility relief. I've heard the advertisements on this, and I greatly appreciate the amount of $164 million going to this program. But the question that I have is that at the bottom, you're saying that the programs are extended to June 30th of 2022 and June 30th of 2023, but on the ads, in order for them to qualify, I believe that the program is, they must submit their applications for those programs by, I think it's by March the 10th. I'm wondering, you probably don't know the answer, but if you can get to my office why that date was picked and why isn't it an open-ended deadline, a rolling deadline, so that those that may not get the message can participate and benefit by this, because during these times of COVID, it's very difficult to get communications throughout the state of Alaska. So if you can get that to me, and then if the vast majority of these funds are expended during this cycle that's currently being advertised, what is the intent to address those same needs during the June 30th, 2022 and June 30th, 2023 needs of the citizens of the state? Yeah. If we can get those answers.
Yes, Ms. Schultz, if you could help the committee with those responses, that'd be beneficial. Senator Wilson, and then Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Schultz, the line 40, the WAMI program, I'm glad to see that those repayments are going to go back to the Higher Education Fund. But is that estimate just for this 1 year coming up? So that's going to be and I guess that estimate of the folks that are who have not lived up to the obligations of the WAMI program, can we get a number of how many students that could be?
Senator Wilson, through the chair, happy to get that information for you and the committee.
Thank you.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Schultz, on back on dovetail on Senator Hoffman on line 38, those extensions to 2022 and 2023, could you double check to see if there's any strings attached with extending those dates? And where I'm going is we don't have a declaration in place now. Is the administration double checking that to see if we can carry that authority forward without a declaration?
That'd be good.
Certainly, Senator Bishop, through the chair, the extension of the state disaster does not impact this particular federal appropriation and our ability to receive or expend it, but we will definitely ensure that the terms on the dates are correct and get that information back to the committee.
Okay. Any other questions on page number 5 of 6? Okay, we'll go on to page 6 of 6.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last several items are also relating to our central services consolidation efforts. Item number 47 is transferring a procurement position from the Department of Law to the Department of Administration for procurement consolidation. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. This is just a cleanup from our efforts from the fiscal year 22 governor's proposal. And number 48 is just the financial fund source change associated with that. Item number 49 relates to our efforts to consolidate facilities and leasing with the Department of Transportation. This is, we are putting budget authority back in the departments with the budget, with the tie-in to their leasing. We had originally thought that having that funding at the Department of Transportation within the leasing section would make sense, but because the occupying agencies, it makes more sense for them to be invested in their, you know, utility usage, their facilities operations, that funding is being reverted back to the appropriate departments.
Okay. We have questions on 6 of 6 from committee members.
Senator
Wilson.
We're taking at ease.
Brief at ease. Back on the record, any questions on page 6 of 6 before we speed on to the third presentation here, or the third booklet? Seeing none, we'll go on to page 1 of 5, starting on booklet number 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This packet is related to amendments for the Department of Health and Social Services, which is now, of course, under the Executive Order 119. Under consideration to become the Department of Health and the Department of Family and Community Services. The committee heard extensively from the department on the proposed executive order yesterday. If it's the will of the chairman, I will highlight a couple of items in this packet that aren't related to the executive order.
Okay, so the question from Ms. Schultz is, does the committee want to just jump to the pertinent issues that are different from the executive order, or do you want to go through all these line by line? Okay, we will assume that the committee wants to jump to the particular items, and if there's any significant items that you want to highlight dealing with the executive order 119, as we go through the pages, please do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to draw the committee's attention to item number 7. This is an item that's not related to the executive order. It is increasing our match for adoption and guardian maintenance of effort. This is due to an increase requirement based on further adoptions, which, you know, is a good thing, but we do need more unrestricted general fund match to meet that.
Okay. Have questions on item number 7? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How much does that match?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, I'll get that information. It is not listed here as an increase in federal funds, but I believe it's associated in the 22 governor's budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions on page number 1?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Two other items on page number 1 that aren't related to the executive order. Item number 14, the second from the bottom, that's a $2 million increase for the Adult Public Assistance Program, again, increasing the maintenance of effort. The chairman and the committee likely remember that there has been an ongoing issue with this particular component relating to the federal authorities identifying a mistake in the way that our benefits were calculated, that there was an increase required in the previous year's budget, a supplemental required in order to correct that, and then this amendment for the Department of Health and Social Services Adult Public Assistance Program should be hopefully the final fix to that calculation error. Item number 15 relates as well to items number 16 and 17 on the next page. That's carry forward language for the Department of Health to continue to have spending authority of a total of $60 million UGF that was appropriated by the legislature for COVID response. This carry forward language will allow the department to continue to have access to these funds for COVID response through the coming fiscal year. All the rest of the items included in this packet are technical items that relate to the executive order.
All the other pages, all the way through page 5?
All the way through page 5, that's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions on any of those items? Let's take a second here for you to glance through them.
As the committee can see from these, a lot of these amendments, these technical amendments, that's just the kind of a lift and shift of existing components within the Department of Health and Social Services and moving them through what we refer to as transfers out to the new department.
Okay. Senator Wilkowski.
What's the total net increase or decrease from the executive order 119?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, if you look at page 5, you can see the totals of the amendment changes, and those are inclusive of the other amendments that I did mention that aren't specific to the executive order, that $5.5 million UGF and a total of about $8.5 all funds. That does include non-EO-related items, so I'll get that exact number that relates solely to the executive order back to the committee. I could also do some subtraction on the record, but I think that would be uncomfortable for everyone.
Okay, that'll be good. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All of these transfers on page 3 from the Department of Health I'm looking at line 49 and 50 that relates to my specific district. It says transfer from the Department of Health executive order, transfer to the Department of Family Health and Community Services. The question that I have during this restructuring is it the intent that the services that are currently being provided on all of these transfers throughout the state of Alaska will stay in those regions?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, yes, it is the intent that those locations and those services that are delivered across the state remain in those areas. I believe the commissioner pointed out yesterday during the hearing that the goal with the executive order and the creation of the new department is improved service delivery.
Thank you. And can I get that specific point in writing from the commissioner? Request.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I will certainly ask him for that. I'm sure he'd be happy to oblige.
Yep. If you can have them just address it to the committee, we'll pass it around, and we'll broaden that out to all the regions. My understanding is it's on a, this is basically an accounting entry issue, not a transfer, but we'll make sure it's very clear to all members. And if there is something moving around, we'll take a look at it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions on this packet before we go on to the next packet? Okay. And then if members do have questions on these, maybe bring them to my office, and then we'll add them to the list for OMB on the response. So the response is inclusive of everything today. And when we'll go on now to item number four, or packet number four, the FY22 capital budget governor's amended. If you want to go ahead and take us through page 1 of 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This first item, these are amendments to the coming year's capital budget. This item is a $2.7 million increase to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's Homeless Assistance Program. This is partly in response to the COVID pandemic situation. As we just discussed, there's about $160 million in funding made available from the federal government for direct relief to landlords and utility companies. Because that funding has very specific rules for how it may be appropriated, it doesn't necessarily address all of the potential homelessness risks, homelessness mitigation efforts. And so that's why this increment exists in addition to that federal authority. Items number 4 and 5 on the capital spreadsheet, these are corrections in the UGF match to the Village Safe Water programs between the funding for the new projects as well as the ongoing project maintenance. So this is just shifting that federal or the UGF match for the federal authority. And of course, Mr. Chairman, I did say UGF. What I should have said was other funds, because these are proposed to be funded with the AHFC bond receipts. Moving on to item number 6, this is a reduction in authority in the Wildlife Management Research Hunting Access Grants that the Department of Fish and Game uses in their capital budget. And Mr. Chairman, I would like to point out that while this appears to be a reduction in their capital authority, it is offset by an increase in their operating budget. The department decided to move the research aspect of this particular program from capital to operating. And that was something that was done in the fiscal year 22 governor's budget.
Okay.
Item number 7 is the implementation of the ballot measure 2 initiative that was approved by voters, and this is in the Division of Elections. It's about an $800,000 increase for them to get the the new information out to voters, the new materials that they'll need to be able to execute these ranked choice elections.
Just as a point of clarification, when I say okay, I'm hearing you, not okay, I agree with whatever you're posing on the table. Oh. Just for clarification.
Mr. Chairman, I was just checking these off with a green pen, just saying, all right, we'll just go ahead and bake those in for next year.
Okay.
All right, we're almost done here, Mr. Chairman. Here we have item number 8, the Department of Natural Resources capital project to establish an information database and dashboard to help the department manage natural disasters and make data-driven decisions while they are dealing with disasters and mapping issues. Item number 9, again for the Department of Natural Resources, is an increase in statutory designated program receipts for their dam safety program. This is so that the department can inspect and authorize dams around the states that are managed by the, or not managed, but regulated by the department. Again, last item on this page in the Department of Natural Resources, and it is related to item number 11 on the next page as well. This is actually just allowing it's budget authority for the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustees Council to purchase the Bookie parcel on the Kenai River and build a larger parking lot.
Is this a normal use of the EVOS funds, or are abnormal, or can you give us a little highlight on that?
Certainly. The Exxon Valdez oil spill trustees, they use their funds to purchase land in order to both protect and preserve, you know, wildlands and wildlife areas, as well as increase access to these lands. This particular item is both protecting the watershed, protecting some wetlands on the river, in addition to expanding access and parking. This is an area that's a popular boat launch on the Kenai River, and right now the parking's super congested. You know, folks are parking on the side of the road, running across the road. It's a bit of a mess. This should streamline.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the past, if the property was being outside of a borough, that has not been a problem, but it's comes controversial when you're taking private property and taking it off the tax rolls for those those municipalities. So I just wanted to point that out. That has been a major concern in the past, and I'm wondering if that concern has been raised in this particular acquisition.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I'm not aware of that concern, but I will inquire with the appropriate parties, and if I hear anything, I will make sure the committee gets that information.
Okay, yeah, just get back with a conclusion one way or the other. That'd be fine. Any other questions on this page? Page number one. Senator Bishop, you're in charge of the capital budget. Do you have any comments on this?
No, I got my notes, and okay. I'll be getting with my office and your office on questions.
We're going to page number 2 of 2.
Thank you. All right. Like I said, item number 11 is related to that Kenai River parcel purchase. Item number 12 is just an increase for maintenance, capital improvements on the Anton Anderson and Portage Lake tunnels on the road and railroad between Portage and Whittier using tunnel receipts. And then there at the end, items 16, 17, 18, and 19 are reappropriations of capital projects. Item number 16 is reappropriations from the Department of Administration to the Department of Transportation. That's in order to move, because like I mentioned earlier, we are trying to consolidate facilities leasing, facilities improvements within the Department of Transportation. That's just moving the authority of that appropriation from DOA to DOT. Very similar with number 17 and 18. There were existing capital projects within the Department of Health and Social Services, and because of the executive order, now that we're proposing these two new departments, those capital projects that are currently live need to be reappropriated to their new correct appropriate departments. And item number 19 is reappropriating capital projects that had been housed in the governor's office to the Department of Health. So again, these are reappropriations that are really just about kind of moving capital projects to their correct home.
Okay. We have questions on Senator Wilikowski, page 2.
This is just a request, Mr. Chair. On the breakdown, if we could get a detailed breakdown of the costs for Executive Order 119, things like moving expenses, changes of office facilities, new furniture, things of that nature, would that be possible to get that?
Certainly, through the Chair, Senator Wilikowski. And there are items listed in the spreadsheet in Packet 3, especially on the first page, that highlight increments related to that executive order, not just the changes. On the spreadsheet, those would be labeled as, and kind of the budget parlance, as a TRIN and a TROUT, which just means a transfer in and a transfer out. But on this page, there are items that are labeled as increments, and those do highlight some of those items that you just asked about. But we'll definitely, I can provide a consolidated response to the committee.
That would be good. And that kind of dovetails into the question yesterday, is when you take the 13 employees additive and potential cost of those relative to the difference of the in the $5 million some odd dollars that you had here today. So we can break that down between personnel, including salaries, benefits, all that, and then other expenditures to execute this proposal. Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Chair Stedman. Carolyn, I'm back on the page 1 here on line 7 for the ballot measure 2 initiative. Is there no money for APOC to implement the changes?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, thank you. That's a good question. We were not able to incorporate that in time for this amendment release.
I guess as a follow-up.
Could you back up? I missed the point of your question.
Yes, Mr. Chair, there is money here for the Division of Elections to request the funding to implement ballot measure 2, but there's no funding to for APOC to implement their changes as part of that ballot measure as well.
Okay, and then could you please repeat your answer?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Yes, the question, Alaska Public Offices Commission, in the fiscal summary for that ballot measure did have a cost associated, as Senator Wilson pointed out. That increment is not in this amendment packet, largely related to a timing issue. While amendments are due by the 30th day of session, it's customary for the administration, of course, with the agreement of the finance co-chairs, to send amendments in after the fact. And if it's the will of the co-chairs, we will likely be sending further amendments, really, up until the last possible minute.
Correct. And I appreciate, Senator Wilson, you pointing that out, the need for additional amendments. And for those watching at home, we do have a hard deadline that appears hard, but frankly, we take amendments or recommendations from the administration clear until the time the paper budget leaves the desk. And as we all know, or the finance table, as we all know, then there's potentially amendments on the floor and coming in. So we do want as many of the amendments, preferably all of them, by the deadline time, but we recognize that there will be new information coming into the administration and or an oversight, or in this case, needing more data. Senator Wilson, then we'll go to Senator Bishop.
I guess as a follow-up to that, do we have a, you know, I'll take that offline. But.
Okay. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Senator Wilson's question, and it was a great catch, could you provide the committee at some point a ballpark estimate from APOC? Just
Schultz, just if we could
at some time,
yeah, give us a heads up on potential changes coming.
Certainly, and Senator Bishop, through the chair, it would be unusual for OMB to provide a ballpark of a coming amendment, but I think a very useful resource is the amount that was included in the voter pamphlet that was produced by the Division of Elections as well as the Alaska Public Offices Commission. They already did provide that estimate. I cannot remember off the top of my head what it was, but that is already publicly available data in the ballot pamphlet.
Okay. So we'll have the our aides work on that issue with OMB and clarification. We could also add that through our process if need be too. So they don't, all amendments don't have to come from the administration. Senator Wilson.
I guess I will ask. Ms. Schultz, what would happen if the legislature failed to accept this amendment of line 7 or the future amendment of APOC?
Through the chair, I would defer that question to the experts at the Division of Elections. Director Funimiai would be able to go into detail, and I can provide that response to the committee.
Any other questions on governor's capital amendments? Okay, that concludes then packet number 4. Ms. Schultz, do you have anything else for us today?
Mr. Chairman, that is the end of my list of amendments for consideration for the committee. I do believe that OMB Director Neil Steininger is available on the phone if he has any last comments that he would like to make and wrap up.
Okay. Mr. Steininger, your trusty aide did not have to extend a lifeline out. Do you have any, which is good, a good credit to her. Do you have any final comments before we conclude today?
For the record, this is Neil Steininger, Director of the Office of Management and Budget. I don't have any final comments other than to thank Ms. Schultz for filling in for me this morning.
Okay, seeing none, any other final questions from the crew on this subject? Okay, that will conclude the meeting today, Monday morning, 9 a.m. Senate Finance is still going 5 days a week. We missed one day. And you've got boys have had one day off since the beginning, but maybe none till the end. We're going to have a hearing from the Department of Education on major school maintenance and construction. Next week will be quite extensive on capital issues around the state. The capital budget chairman, Senator Bishop, will be chairing these meetings. Please attend, all committee members and supporting staff, and others pay attention. We're going to be dealing with deferred maintenance issues and other capital needs around the state, and also trying to prepare ourselves for the future appropriation that may come from the federal government in a massive capital improvement program for the entire country. And we want to make sure that all committee members are up to speed with all the needs around the state, so we are ready to take action immediately on that issue. Thanks, everybody, for coming today. We are adjourned.